All righty, thank you. At this time, I'd like to introduce the head table. So can I have your attention, please? We're going to start on my left, I'm in my right, my far right, your left. And at the end of it, we have Ms. Kristen White, who is the director of Talking Book Services. Next to Kristen, we have the secretary of the National Federation of the Blind of South Carolina, Shannon Cook. And next to her should be her husband, Steve Cook. Okay. Well, he was gone. No, wasn't too sure whether he was back yet. Okay. Hey, Steve. All right. Next to Steve is the director of a successful transitions program, Jennifer Baser. And I will skip the next person. Next to that person is our national representative, Jim Gaschel. And next to Jim is his lovely wife, Suzanne Gaschel. And we have the podium. And next to me is my lovely wife and the first lady of this organization, Shelley Koppel. Next to Shelley is our former state president, Parnell Diggs. And next to Parnell is his lovely wife, Kim Diggs. And next to Kim is our second vice president of the NFB of South Carolina, Deborah Canty. Next to Deborah is Herbert Boykin. And next to Herbert is a lady who's doing a jam-up job with the door prizes and the first vice president of the National Federation of Blind of South Carolina, Lenora Robertson. And next to Lenora is her daughter, Ellen Taylor. Let's give the head table a big hand. At this time, we are going to have our luncheon speaker, and at this time, we're going to call on Jennifer Baser. She will introduce him to you all today. Jennifer?
As an executive director of the John Maxwell team, Mr. Fate is certified to facilitate, speak, train, and coach individuals and groups in areas of leadership development, professional skills, and personal growth. Professionally, Mr. Fate has mentored and served thousands of military members and their families during his 30 years in the United States Air Force. Since retiring from the military, he has been their program director for a geriatric mental health program, deputy director for health services, South Carolina Department of Corrections, and now the director of support services, City of Sumter. According to John Maxwell, the two greatest days in a person's life are the day he or she was born and the day he or she discovers why they were born. He believes there is a why for everyone, that each of us was created with the potential to achieve greatness, to make a difference in the world, to add value to others, and as a result, experience a full and rewarding life. For over 30 years, Mr. Fate's purpose was to defend our nation. And now the purpose is helping people discover their life's purpose and grow to their full potential. Mr. Fate holds a master's degree in human relations and a bachelor's degree in social psychology. He is committed to modeling his core values of integrity first, service before self, and excellence in all he does. Mr. Fate looks forward to sharing with you the leadership skills he has learned over the last 3 decades. I would like to present Mr. Lefford Fate.
I'm so excited. I like that right there. That's my song. That's my song. You know, those are some beautiful words, Jennifer. You read them just like I wrote them. It, you know, that all that she read sounded really impressive. But if you would have been with me 35 years ago on 317 North Russian Street, Glenville, Georgia, you would have heard about a totally different Lefford Faith. I was a poor boy with a funny name that didn't have much of a self-esteem. I didn't think very much of myself. I grew up in an environment where my parents, neither graduated high school, one went to the sixth grade and one went to the eighth grade, but they were good people. They were really good people. They were God-fearing, hardworking people. But they brought me up the best they could. They wanted more for us kids than they wanted for themselves. But they brought us up with a mental model that was based on a lie. And that mental model basically said that because we were black, because we were poor, because we were living in the South where we live, that we couldn't get much out of this life. Now, I'm a church man, and they had us in the church. And their thing was, when you die and go on to glory, then you will have your opportunities, right? So I must admit, I wasn't a very good Christian. I wasn't, because I was a little, I wanted my stuff then. I wanted my stuff now. And I didn't want to wait till I died. See, my parents were wonderful people. And they had their eyesight, but they didn't have vision. They had their eyesight, but they did not have vision. I loved them, and they loved me, and they did everything they could for me. But I'll tell you, on the other side of my town, and I grew up in a little town called Glenville, Georgia, home of the Vidalia onion, and not far from the fruitcake. So, and down on the other side of the town, there was a family. And this family's leader was a gentleman by the name of Mr. Greeley Tootle. And Mr. Greeley Tootle's wife was Miss Alice Tootle. And this family was blind. They had met each other, and I talked to their son. They said they met each other sight unseen, fell in love, and grew a big family. And the difference between that family and my family was this. My father and mother, they had their health, they had their eyesight, they had their physical abilities, but they saw the surroundings, they saw the environment. They did not see the future, they did not see a vision. So to be honest, everything I am was in part based on the Tootle family. And I can say with great integrity that a blind man taught me to see. Mr. Tootle didn't want his children to grow up in an environment where there were any restrictions to them, that their blindness did not stop them from being who and what they could or should be. They were out in the tobacco fields. They was out in the onion fields. They were up and down the streets of Glenville doing their thing. And I learned from the lesson that Mr. and Mrs. Tootle taught me that, you know, you don't have to be blind to see. Now, you may be asking, what are you talking about? You don't have to be blind to see. A lot of people, when their back is against the wall and they have a disability or there's something going bad in their life, they believe that then they can come fight. You say you have everything that you need if you're willing to work for it. If you're willing to work for it. So that's how one blind man taught me to see. Fast forward a few years. I joined the United States Air Force when I was 17 years old. And I went off to San Antonio, Texas. Never been on a plane. Never really been too far outside of my hometown. And I ran into all these different people, and I started to have a successful career, and I learned and I grew. But as many positive things that happened in my life, and as much as I grew, I still had this negative mindset that because I'm a black man, come from a poor environment, that I can never be or do more. And even though Mr. Tootle and his family taught me these lessons, I still had that niggling thing in the back of my mind that made me feel that, you know, I wasn't quite there. And I was working and I was doing things. And, you know, it would be like one of those dances. I take 2 steps forward and I'd have 3 steps back. And then I'd take 2 more steps forward and 3 steps back. Now, I had some good times. Sometimes I went 4 or 5 steps forward and only 1 back. But I still had that thing in the back of my mind. I grew, I traveled, I went all over the world. And back in 2004, this is a quick trip, but 2004, I came back to the States. I was stationed in England. And when I was stationed in England, all I wanted to do was to get back home, spend time with my dad. And I came back home, I spent time with my dad, and about a month after I got back home, my dad fell ill with an infection. And ultimately, he died from that infection. And I was miserable, and I was beside myself. And I was in a situation where I thought that I didn't do enough for my dad. I wasn't there for him. I didn't help him like I could help him. It was just all this negative stuff going on in my mind. And then another blind man gave me a message, and he taught me to see. Mr. Tootles had 2 sons that were blind. And one of those sons was my brother-in-law, a man by the name of Galen Tootle. He's actually in here today. Galen, hey, give him a shout out. What's up, bro? Now I'm a little bit nervous because I said my brother-in-law, but he couldn't hang with that old crazy fake woman that I will affectionately call my sister. And so we brothers now instead of brothers-in-law. I'll call us brothers in love. He is my brother in love. And he was there with my dad when I couldn't be there. He knew my dad. He was a part of my dad. This blind man stood by my father when I was in Iraq, when I was in Afghanistan, when I was in Korea, when I was in England. He was there being the eyes, the hands, the shoulder for my father when I wasn't there. But I came home and I was kicking myself. I wasn't feeling really good about myself. And I was, and I'm going to tell you something about sight versus vision. He heard something in my voice, and he saw me. He saw me, and he saw my struggle, and he came up, and he comforted me. And he said, Lefford, what's the problem? And, you know, since I'm a man and I was a military dude, I was like, nothing. I'm good. And he was like, that's not true. What's wrong? I said, I didn't do for my father what I should have done for my father. I wasn't there for my father like I should have been there for my father. I'm not sure my dad knew how much I loved and respected him. And he stopped me right there. He was like, he didn't say it nicely. Let's suffice to say, he said something like, that's pretty stupid sentiment that you got there. You are your father's pride and joy. He loves you. You love him. You did the best you could. And he is very, very proud of you. So what I couldn't see with my eyes, he saw with his spirit. Galen Tootle has vision, which I think is better than sight. And he also taught me that you don't have to be blind to see. Now, the cool thing about this story is that I don't think he thought I listened to him when I was growing up. He's a lot older than me. So but Galen is blind, but he played football for the University of Georgia, them Bulldogs. Now, he says he was a crash dummy for him, but he played football. He also was a wrestler for the University of Georgia. Go Dogs. Huh? Even, I'm sorry, Gamecocks, and I'm sorry, Tigers, but I'm a dog to life. This, listen, I mean, Mr. Tootle and Mrs. Tootle, they taught their son that he could be better than he was. And he went off to play football in college, and he actually was going to represent our country as a wrestler in the Olympics before the before Jimmy Carter and the crew had to stop some stuff because of a boycott. But this man, this blind man, walked down the street. He was able to do more than I could with my feet, with my arms, with my voice, and my eyes. You don't have to be blind to see. Now, just recently, you heard my introduction. I was the Deputy Director of Healthcare for the South Carolina Department of Corrections. And I was hired by Governor Nikki Haley to fix the mental health problem that was going on in the Department of Corrections. I did that job for 3 years. We did a lot of good things. But as I was leaving that, I was down and I was depressed and I was frustrated because it wasn't working quite like I wanted it to. There were people that were still dying in the Department of Corrections. There were people still committing suicide. There were people that were still not getting good health care. And I felt like a failure until I met this man called Jim Stovall. Anybody know Jim Stovall? He actually wrote the book, You Don't Have to Be Blind to See. And I'm sitting here kicking myself, feeling bad. I got all my liberties, all my limbs, my sight, everything. And I'm walking around kicking myself because I'm not doing much. And you know what Jim Stovall is doing? He's also going into prisons. He's helping people that's got financial issues. He's helping people transition from prison to the civilian sector. He's trying to stop recidivism rate. He is doing his thing. He is making an impact. He is a blind man that is affecting the world. Now, I think sometimes, I'm not going to say we, I'm going to say I. Sometimes we get in our head and we get caught up on what I can actually see 2 to 3 feet in front of me. And we don't think of vision. We don't vision cast. We don't look out there and say, you know what? If it is to be, it's up to me. I don't need anybody to do anything for me that I cannot do for myself. When I was talking to Galen last night, the night before last, he was actually telling me about the South Carolina Federation of the Blind, because I misspoke and said for the blind. And he said, whoa. Nothing for us without us. This is not for me. This is not for me. This is of me. And I said, all right, bro, I got you. I got you. And he taught me this lesson. And so this blind man, who has led me since I was a little kid, along with his father, and he don't know that I took his little sister to the prom, so y'all don't tell him, right? He also don't know that his big brother loaned me his car so I could take his little sister to the prom. Love you, bro. But the reality is, if you want it, you can do it. And nobody can stop you. What I find in life, that the biggest barrier to get anything we want out of life is us. We get caught in a situation that I'm not this or I'm not that. I'm not good enough here and I'm not good enough there. Let's think for a while what you are good at, because your gifts will make room for you. And all of us have gifts, right? Each and every one of us has a gift. Exercise your gifts and your gifts will make room for you. Because if a blind man from a poor town in Georgia can help this fellow see, if a blind man that can help me see vision and show me that my father loves me and respects me, if a blind man that can start a narrative television station that is international, that went blind at 30, if they can do that, what can you do? And I will submit to you that you could do anything that you want to do. Don't let anybody stop you. You do your thing. You do your thing. But you know, I do got jokes, right? Because I heard something about y'all went to Vegas just recently. Yeah. So I got to be honest. I never partied with the blind before, but I think I need to party with y'all. Because a little birdie told me that when y'all were in Vegas, there was this song that y'all sang. And it started like 99 bottles of beer on the wall, 99 bottles of beer. Take one down, pass it around, 98 bottles of beer on the wall. So, yeah, that's not true. I just heard somebody say, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. There is a caveat to that. What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas unless you tell Lefford Fate about it, and then he's going to get a microphone and he's going to talk about it. So one of my sisters by the name of Casey, she was out there, and for some reason she decided she didn't want to sing 99 bottles of beer. She started singing 54 bottles of wine on the wall. All right. So I guess y'all was there, right? So Miss Casey was escorting people through the casino. And I don't know, something caught her attention and she kind of drifted off course. And she was supposed to be leading people to a particular room. Am I telling on you? I'm sorry. I'm an airman. I'm an American airman. And one of our mottos is never leave an airman behind. I need to get Casey in the Air Force because she didn't get that. I think after her third or fourth bottle of wine, Miss Casey left somebody. She left a poor blind man in Vegas while she was drinking wine or beer. Is that right, Casey? Is that true? Or something like, so know this, that's your girl right over there to my left, your right. If you go to Vegas with her, you might want to get your own trip home because she might leave y'all. Now, you know, thank you so much for doing what you do. And I hope that you can hear in my voice how much I really care about you and what you do. Because, as I said, I've been all over the world. I've done a lot of great things. But I never would have done those things if a blind man had not taught me to see.